This is the Press Conference Podcast, episode 69. My name's Dave and I'm here with my host Phil. We're in person.
We are in person for the second time and it's on the back of a massive week and my voice is cooked. How are you doing?
Yeah, man, I'm hurting. In a bad way.
Physically, emotionally, mentally, any way you can think of pain, that's where I'm at.
I'm not down in pain though.
I'm not down. My heart is so full. Yeah. My heart is so full. This last week has been absolutely incredible. But I'm excited.
Me too. What a week. What a weekend. Keen as to unpack it.
So for those listening, if you haven't seen the name of this episode, we're going to be talking pretty much all things New Bloom. New Bloom Fest this week that just happened. Dave and I were lucky enough to go to all three shows. Which is crazy. I've never done anything like that before.
Yeah, me either. And I probably is one and done for me. I don't know if I could do it again.
You don't reckon?
Nah.
I honestly think, and look, we'll talk into when we get to each day later on, but I think my level of exhaustion come the third day added something that I don't think I've ever had at a show, like that level of exhaustion during a set or during it like a gig. It just emotionally added things that I just didn't think I was able to feel.
I saw it, so that poured out, but we'll get to that later.
So yeah, we did the 3 days. And I think we go back to before we thought about even doing a pod about it.
Yeah.
We had said when we kind of met years ago and bonded over music, Touche were one of those bands that we realized that we both loved.
Mm-hmm.
We'd both seen them at probably the same shows a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But obviously didn't know each other. And we said that when they'd come back, we would essentially follow them around.
Yeah.
And when the fest was announced, it was a weekend and we thought that is achievable. Let's do that. So we did.
Yeah. And, I'm so glad we did it because usually it's something like, I'll just go to one show. Even if there was like two shows in Melbourne, I would generally just go to one. I was kind of content with that. But seeing it had been such a long time, I was like, stuff it. And yeah, we just decided to have a crack.
I mean, we're not going to get... this isn't going to be the Touche Amore podcast just yet. We'll get to our simping later on. But you're right. It was 7 years since they'd been here. Absolutely incredible and just worth it. We had to do it.
Definitely. It was worth it to see all 3 days of the festival as well.
Yeah.
On top of seeing Touche every time. Like, the bands that were at each date, obviously you've got... the headliners that we'll get to in a bit, but the local bands are on each day. Really made it worthwhile because we saw some absolutely incredible bands.
Absolutely. I think it was just such a well put together festival. And I mean, like, while we're here, let's talk about it. What do we think of everything about the festival? You want to go?
I think it's awesome. I think these day fests or afternoon fests where you've got like 8 to 10 bands, smash it out in the afternoon, everything's there. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
I think it's funny because, you know, we talk about vinyl, right?
Yeah.
And then we talk about just everything, right? And you can do something for everyone or you could do something targeted like New Bloom Fest was for a particular crowd. I mean, when you think about festivals like Good Things, they try to cater for everyone.
That's true, yeah.
And, you know, last year there was a lot of noise around what they were doing. It didn't, like, you know, there was just discourse about it, right?
Yeah.
But for this festival, I think it was quite clear from the outset that they wanted this to be more of an emo fest. And I think back to what we did on the weekend pod that they did with Bloom. And I think Jono had made some jokes to Ash and some of the promoters that booked this show. And they said they didn't want it to be like a super heavy show.
Yeah.
And I have mad respect for that because they set out a goal and they achieved it. And I think for the consumer, for the punter, I mean, everyone there loved it. It just, if everything was in the same wheelhouse, it made sense. It was great.
Well, do you want to talk about the headliners?
Oh, well, I think let's talk about, we're going to talk about the venues and the setup.
Oh, let's talk about the venues. Yeah.
Yeah, so
day one was Brisbane at the
Fortitude Music Hall.
Fortitude Valley Music Hall.
Yeah.
Really great room.
That's one of the prettiest rooms I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's on par with the Forum for me. I love the Forum, But if I'm in Brisbane, the Fortitude Music Hall is stunning.
Yeah.
The foyer, like the marble, it looked bougie as, you know, and even like the actual floor itself, it's got a real good theatre vibe to it that I don't think many other venues have.
Yeah. My only gripe was like the stage was super high. So like the bands are on top of you, but like that's...
It's a bit like that at the Forum, isn't it?
Yeah, not... Oh, yes and no. I don't think it's that high. You don't see like the bands like...
Yeah.
A kilometer away almost.
Yeah. I think it was cool that they had the two stages.
Yeah.
I mean, the Clashes, like...
Timing-wise, it wasn't great, but they had to start late for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Kind of made it work, though. Yeah, you just had to make a decision where you were going to miss a main stage band for 10 minutes or miss a small stage band and not really get the best spot because it's kind of hidden away in a corner. But, yeah, it was fine. That small stage was pretty good.
The small stage was great. I liked how they spread out the merch across the two levels as well.
Yeah.
And I like how they had that telly upstairs and they were like playing the downstairs set upstairs when there wasn't a band on. So even if you were focusing upstairs, you could still get... It was a pretty good experience, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job there.
Overall, really good. And it was packed. Like, it was busy early.
And the Valley as well. Like, the whole vibe around that joint was just off its rocket.
Yeah.
That was the best. The Fortitude Valley, I mean, I've been out there once, but I've never really spent time like that there. It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a vibe. Brisbane, you've got a good little thing going on there. Even though there are some fights and bullshit. good vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, good vibes. Yeah, it was pretty good all night. And then we moved to Sydney, which is at the Roundhouse.
Yeah, my local. I guess you could say I live quite close. What did you think?
I thought it was an interesting setup. I don't know. I've never been to basically a donut or a circular room before.
You could say a roundhouse.
A roundhouse, yes. I think it worked really well because you could get access to the stage from any angle, basically. So you come from the side, you come straight from the sound desk or from the other side.
Yeah.
So you're not really squeezed in, so there's not forced space like some other venues, like where you're kind of funneled in. The sound was good, and you had that viewing platform up the top, which was really cool. Like the
balcony. That's cool.
And then the courtyard out the back, which was
elite
for in between.
Gave us life, I think.
Yeah.
Especially because we were knackered. And I was a little bit hungover for Sydney, to be honest. Yeah. The Valley got me. I love the Roundhouse. I think it's actually one of my favorite venues in Sydney. I know a lot of people talk shit about it because it does feel like a lot of space.
Yeah, it did feel bigger. We'll get to Melbourne next.
But I think like any show, it is what you make it, right?
Yeah.
And if you're content sitting at the back, I wouldn't complain about the fact that you think there's a lot of space. I think, you know, if you're going to complain about there not being a lot of space, get into a position where...
There is no space. Yeah. Get in the pit.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts was being able to kind of sit out the back, enjoy some fresh air, and still hear the music and the commotion that was going on inside.
Yeah.
A little bit inhibited, but it's like, don't expect it to be perfect, but it was actually awesome just being able to chill, enjoy the company of the people that were there and the music at the same time.
I also think I was a bit skeptical about the no pass outs. But the food in that joint, that food truck they had, that Tokyo Japanese inspired food truck, slapped. So love it.
Yeah. I think overall that was a pretty good day. All the merch was like kind of upstairs on that balcony, which is cool because then you weren't kind of fighting the crowds of the merch to get to the bands or anything like that. So it was very like kind of tucked away on its own little spot.
And then yesterday, the Melbourne Pavilion for the Melbourne leg. I'd never been there for a gig. I'd only ever been there to watch some boxing.
Yeah, I'd never been there before.
It's a sweet venue.
I think it was pretty good.
I like the chandeliers. It just added a nice little aesthetic to the day.
Yeah, it was an interesting shaped room or area, I guess you could say, where you can see it's kind of built for boxing or fights
it's like a ballroom.
Yeah.
What I couldn't get my head around, I don't know the actual cap number, so if anyone listening knows, we'd love to know. Was it smaller than Brisbane and Melbourne, in Sydney?
I think it's smaller than the Music Hall.
Well, I'm trying to, I don't know, because there's a lot of space not in front of the bands.
Yeah.
So they'd have to take that into account when putting the cap, right? I don't know, but obviously Melbourne was sold out. It felt like you could have fit more people in there, if I'm being honest. But that's what I mean. Like, I think just the shape of it, it's just really misleading, I think. Yeah. But I love that venue. I thought the, even though the barrier was there, it felt like it wasn't as much of a gap as it was in Sydney and Brisbane. And because like the bands could step out onto the speakers or the fucking units there, it actually felt like you were still quite close to the bands.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit skeptical when we first walked in. But I think by the time we got to
the end of the night,
it felt fine.
Yeah, felt fine.
Yeah.
I think Melbourne was really cool. I think the sound desk was huge, and that kind of made it look like there was like two parts of the whole venue.
Right.
Where there was like the carpeted area at the back behind the sound stage. But yeah, it was a pretty good setup too.
Loved it. Well, let's talk headliners, right? So Citizen being the main headliner, Movements and Touche.
Yeah.
And the only reason I say that is because they were the three bands that had their own banner. So I'm assuming they're the headliners, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can fucking, all the internationals technically are headliners, right?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't realize Citizen were as big as they are.
I don't know why you didn't think that.
I don't know. I don't see many, like, obviously I'm not in many of the groups around, but I, yeah, don't see much talk about them.
Did you just miss the whole youth bandwagon, or were you like, because I feel like if you'd listen to that record, like that was massive. And then I feel like every tour they've done since has been, or every album they've done, there's been massive reception to it.
Yeah. I didn't miss Youth when it came out, but obviously didn't click with me, and that was the one that everyone talked about.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they've got like, is it four records now?
Since then? Yeah, well, if you, yep.
Yeah, so I was kind of aware of them, and they'd come up when they pop up, you'd see people talking. But people talk about Movements all the time. Those records are coming out, they're being repressed, people are selling, people are trying to get them, like there's more. I feel like there's more talk from what I see for Movements than there is for Citizen. So I was just a bit, I was like, I'm happy for them because it's sick. But I didn't think they were bigger than Movements or even Touche in some ways.
Well, I think the way I kind of, it hit me last night, I was thinking about it. Maybe this was a fucking bad take, I'm not sure yet. But it kind of felt like Citizen were where Movements were like 5 to 10 years ago. But TikTok, I think, has changed the game for Movements, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
I think the crowd's a bit the same, but different. Like, I think especially being at all the shows, seeing the people holding the barrier and then leaving after Movements. I think Movements are kind of in this weird popular echelon of emo music that I think Citizen were there maybe 5, 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I think Citizen's just a more mature band. They didn't need, they're already big enough without TikTok that I think they've just held that kind of like stature in the scene.
Sure.
I think if we're talking 10 years time, Movements might be in that space. But they were incredible. Like they sounded so tight. Really professional. And their set last night especially was incredible.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I think what I like about them too is that they've obviously changed their sound from record to record, and I think a lot of people talk about that, whether they like it or hate it. I mean, the verdict's not out yet for that, but I think their set catered to everyone.
Yeah.
And the way that they actually blocked their set, it flowed really well. And there were some songs, there were some times where I'm like, they're playing a really fucking sad song, then they're dancing around, really boppy song. And I thought, okay, this is a bit odd, but the crowd was into it, and they owned it, right?
Yeah.
They were a very deserving headliner, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah, by the end of it, I was like, yeah, I get it now. Like, it's good. Yeah, they're great. So we got No Pressure, Soft Cult, and...
Oh, you want to talk about Movements?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Movements.
Let's talk about Movements.
I think we talked about Movements, so...
Well, we didn't really talk about the fact that Pat was sick.
Yeah, he was.
So we found out yesterday that he had strep throat. I thought he had COVID. Maybe he did have COVID, and that resulted in him fucking his throat. But obviously, played in Melbourne last Tuesday, cancelled the Gold Coast show, which was Devo, because that was in a tiny cap.
Yeah.
So that would have been incredible. Shortened their set in both Brisbane and Sydney. And then last night in Melbourne, I don't know the fella's name, but their backup vocalist took main vocals.
Yep.
And honestly, blew my fucking mind.
Yeah.
They were incredible. Even Pat, the earlier two nights, I thought he still did an incredible job considering he couldn't even sing on... Like, he went home, I'm pretty sure. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's right.
I heard someone say he stayed in Sydney. I'm not sure. He wasn't there, though. He wasn't on stage.
I thought he sounded better on Saturday than he did on Friday. So I was really surprised when he didn't make the trip down to Melbourne. But I love the fact that the band were like, fuck it, we're going to fucking put on a show. Backup vocalist did it. I don't know if he's been in a band before, but he could be in a fucking front man.
Yeah.
His voice is great.
And Banter I think, with the crowd. It looked like he'd been doing it for 10 years.
And I was nervous because at Sydney, apparently people on the barrier like booed when Pat said that they were cutting the set short.
Oh, really?
And I was like, that left a really bad taste in my mouth. And I just heard that through whispers of people that were up the front. And the fact that, like, I think we found out that Pat wasn't going to be there maybe halfway through the day.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, are they going to tell people about this? We talk shit about Sydney, but they booed, which I fucking hate. I was like, what if Melbourne people are like, we don't want this?
Yeah.
But the crowd was great. And I think it just was probably one of the highlights of the whole weekend. That's it.
Yeah. Me too. I was a bit like, I don't know, the same thing. Like, if they're not going to play, they should really say something. Like, if they were going to play, they would have said something earlier, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you would have something like where Touche and Citizen will play longer sets, or maybe some of the other bands would probably get more time.
Yeah.
But, I think they waited right until the last minute, as I said, when they came out.
Yeah.
That they would just wanted to make sure that they could put on a show. And they pulled it off.
Absolutely. And then talking of Touche, obviously we'll simp about them later on, but I think they had one of the craziest sets at every show.
Yeah.
Obviously they're a bit heavier. Haven't been here for so fucking long. I think people were itching to see them. I mean, like, we talk about bands like in this post-hardcore space, like The Wave and all that shit. They've got a really unique following that I think if people like them, they fucking love them. I think very rarely do you find someone who's like, yeah, I don't mind Touche. They either fucking love Touche or they don't fuck with Touche at all. Yeah. And I think it showed in the crowd because as soon as they came on, it was energy every night.
Yeah, it really turned the nights. We noticed a big turn in energy when they came on.
And I think credit to, again, we talk about the people booking the show. Like, I think that was a perfect band to put at that time before Movements and Citizen. Not that they're not as high energy, because they were, as we found out. But I think it just kind of really elevated the night. Everyone was really amped up, and their Movements came on, slapped. They've got bangers. Everyone loves their songs. Citizen came in and just fucking, like, you know, took the final blow. It was incredible. And I think we'll talk more about Touche later, but yeah.
So now we can get to the second line of, or the international support.
And the only reason I say they're not like headliners is because they didn't have their own banner. And I think like when you headline, you get a banner. It's a big thing. That's what I'm saying.
That's fine. Well, the next line of international bands. So we had No Pressure, Soft Cult, and we're supposed to have Fleshwater, who pulled out. Like,
can you believe I had a guy in Sydney in the crowd during No Pressure tap me on the shoulder, being like, "Hey man, do you know when Fleshwater are coming on?" And I said, dude, they pulled out. And he went to his girlfriend and was like, babe, Fleshwater aren't here. Do you want to go?
Oh, really?
I think they were just there for Fleshwater. And I'm like, that's absolutely brutal. But yeah, let's talk No Pressure. So what do you think?
It was weird.
The only reason let me preface this as well. I think they were exceptional.
They were great. It was just weird seeing them
in a big room like that.
On a big stage so far away from the crowd when you're so used to seeing them have people up on stage and getting amongst it. Just that was what was weird to me. They absolutely, like, they just turn it on every time.
It reminded me more of a Story So Far show where Parker has notoriously been known to fucking chill out. He doesn't really move much on stage.
Yeah.
He was walking around, he had his backpack on, you know, taking everyone to school, all that kind of shit. And he can still command a room, which I love. Like, the crowd was moving to his will. He was telling them to do a circle pit. It was fucking ridiculous. He was telling people to fucking two-step. It was going crazy. I think being at those Lansdowne and Stay Gold shows last year, I think set an expectation in my mind of what a No Pressure show should be. And I was a bit heartbroken that it wasn't like that. Obviously, we got the side show, so it'll be great. But yeah, it was just a weird set.
Yeah. But they absolutely killed it. sing-alongs galore, finger pointing.
Just great time.
It's two steps.
And talking about it, like, no pressure. They also came at a good point in the day.
Yeah.
Very shoegazy up to that point. Very emo up to that point. No pressure come in. Lift the energy levels up. Incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Very well put together days.
Yeah. And then Soft Cult, who are probably...
They're a bit of a sleeper, I think, on the bill, for sure. But they...
Yeah.
Like, have blown up in the last couple of years.
They might be... the best shoegaze band that no one's talking about.
Yeah.
I don't hear many people talk about them. And I'll be honest with you, I'd listen to, I think they had that one song, Umikaze, whatever it was. Fuck, I don't even know the name of the song. But I'd heard that song a heap of times. Guitars are beautiful. Vocals beautiful. Everything about that's great. But I think what they have compared to other shoegaze bands that, number one, played this bill, but also that I listen to, their guitars are just so fucking twangy and nice, and
yeah,
it just keeps you really interested throughout the whole songs.
Yeah, the songs are built really well. So there's like a bit of that roller coaster effect that we like to talk about, where it builds to a point, and we actually saw it from a couple of the local shoegazy bands where it builds to an ambient point in the song, and all we hear is like strumming, and then you get the Soft Cult do that and shredding guitars, solos, yeah, whammy bars, like all that kind of stuff that really just kind of keeps you up in the moment, even though there's not really anything, like there's no singing, there's nothing going on, but there's just like this little solo in there just to keep your mind going.
I feel you. And I think, look, if you're in Melbourne and you're listening to this, we're going to drop this today on Monday. But if you're listening to this early, they're playing in Melbourne tomorrow night on Tuesday. At Black Cherry, which is like 100 cap room. So if you want to fucking experience this band in the most intimate setting possible, now's your chance.
Yeah. It'll be worth it.
So let's talk local sports.
Yep.
So, I mean, fuck, there's a lot of bands here, so we're not going to talk through every single band. But I guess as a whole, how did you feel each day was set up?
I think it was pretty good. There was like a bit of a contrast in sounds, where you're going like for say Brisbane, you've got Bad Neighbor and Sunbleach, although they're on different stages. You've got shoegazy with a bit of, would you say they're pop punky, post hardcore?
Bad Neighbor, like a little bit of Midwest emo pop punk vibe to it. Yep.
And then you've got Eat Your Heart Out with World of Joy, which is like pop punk and like straight up hardcore.
And then Blind Girls and Nerve Damage, who are like screamo hardcore.
Yeah.
As well. Like,
kind of built in aggression throughout the day as well.
Yeah, I like that. And then Sydney, we obviously had Peace Ritual, Future Heaven, Amends, and No Brainer, which I don't even know what you'd call it. They're more like shoegazy, alternate alt rock kind of really throughout the day. And then No Brainer, just a straight up hardcore band.
Yep.
Which I think No Brainer, fucking chef's kiss. One of the best bands I saw last week. And I saw them at Back on the Map. I'm going to get into this later, but I saw them at Back on the Map last year. I didn't quite register that that's who they were. But after this week, they fucking top three band from the locals, in my opinion. But anyways.
Yeah, then in Melbourne, we had Post Heaven, Armlock, Better Half, and AWOL. So you've got that same kind of thing where it's like screamy.
It was like shoegazy, screamo, alt rock.
Straight up, yeah.
I had everything. I think Melbourne had more of a diverse mix. Everyone had a friend at other nights, but I think Melbourne, every band was a bit different from the next.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, let's get to the big questions. What was your favorite day and why?
I found this really hard. I don't know if I actually have a favorite day.
I know.
There's parts of each day where like my favorite. So like Sydney, I think all round, chilling out the back with like Webby, Jackson, Elijah, friends of the pod, and then getting into like really, we got hammered in that pit for Touche.
On Sydney, yeah.
And like really kind of enjoyed that. But I think I like the back half of Melbourne I like more than I like Sydney.
Right.
And like Brisbane was just great all the way through, but there was less kind of shining moments for me throughout the day, throughout that Brisbane day.
Look, I'm going to land on Melbourne, I think, was the best. And I really hate to say that because I'm really in this, my era of being like, Melbourne can't keep getting the chocolates.
Yeah.
Because as much as I'm from Melbourne and I lived here for nearly 30 years, I've spent the last 3 years in Sydney. And I think Sydney arguably could have also been the best of the thing. And I'm not just, and I'm not talking about who we saw.
No, no.
But like as in friends, right? Yeah. Because friends across the whole week, like every show, catching up with different group of friends, like really made the whole weekend for me, to be honest. I think from a show point of view, though, I think Brisbane was fantastic. The crowd was a bit more tame, I found anyway, across really most of the sets. But I think just being there for the first time, my first gig in Brisbane, I think that really stood out to me. Beautiful venue. I think Sydney was just great. Like, I think it had everything. Like, the supports were fantastic. I think this whole setup at the venue was the best setup of any venue that we had. But then Melbourne, I mean, if you take out that Touche set, I wouldn't say Melbourne was the best. But I think like that set was so special, and we'll talk more about it later. But yeah, and I think Melbourne as well, like obviously saw a lot of friends and things like that. But I think the Movement set was the best there for the weekend. No disrespect to Pat as a vocalist. He's obviously incredible.
He's struggling. That's fine.
But that set was incredible, and then I think Citizen just blew the top off the Melbourne Pavilion. And so I'm going Melbourne, but I very well could have said Sydney.
Yeah, it is Melbourne for me, and I think definitely feeling the way I did yesterday was taking away from the experience for me a little bit, because I was I was struggling physically.
I think it added to it for me.
Yeah, it added to me towards the end, so I got my second win for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, as you said, Brisbane's a great setup. It's cool being there for the first time.
Yeah.
Sydney was great, just all around. Everything was really good, but I think Melbourne was just the best.
Yeah. Favorite local bands that played?
All right, so my favorite local bands, I've done favorite and honorable mentions.
Same.
So... for me, Brisbane was Blind Girls.
Incredible, right?
Like straight out of my wheelhouse.
They are one of the best bands in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of many bands I would actually say are better than them right now. And yes, it's the genre that probably pulls people off.
Yeah.
But fuck, man, we've got an amazing band right there. And I hope everybody who doesn't fuck with them yet starts to, because they're like... You know, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but seeing them play at Staygold on Monday before the fest weekend, talking to them after the show at the merch desk, I was like, man, so good seeing you after playing La Dispute. Like, obviously, those rooms were big, but keen to see you in a small room. And they were like, oh, yeah, don't worry. Like, we'll be announcing show soon. And I'm like, oh, when are you going to be back? And they're like, oh, probably early next year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's this band who, I mean, you talk to every, like, a lot of people wouldn't know them. Yeah. Yet they're playing all around the fucking world. Like, you know, Jeremy from Touche shouting them out on stage every night, being like, they're our favorite band in Australia. Like, they're big. Just people need to go find them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Blind Girls for me. My honorable mention was Eat Your Heart Out.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I'm glad we went up there, because there was like that small chance of seeing Pat come out to do that feature.
Oh, man. And she played it. And I was like, they had to play it, right? And then when he didn't come out, obviously I knew he was sick, but... It's like, I thought there might have been a chance.
Yeah, but I'm glad we went up and saw them, because usually that, like, I wouldn't have gone up to watch them, but they were really good.
Yep.
How about you?
Well, I just had just Blind Girls.
Yeah.
I think they were the best. I also think Nerve Damage. That was my first time seeing them in a small room. Last time I saw them, they played at the Roundhouse.
Yep.
They were awesome. I was gassed and exhausted. I mean, we had a 5 a.m., 6 a.m. flight that day. But they were just so good. And World of Joy, I think we caught like a few songs.
Yeah.
They're probably one of my favorite hardcore bands in Australia at that size.
Yeah.
So it was cool seeing them, especially in their hometown.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's get to Sydney.
No brainer for me. Yep. They were nearly my favorite band of the week. Seeing them, obviously, they supported Touche as well on that Monday night. And they were just so good. I mean, if you haven't listened to them, they're like Knock Loose vocally if they played more traditional hardcore music, right? And there's no lie, I love his vocals, but I think their hardcore just slaps, man. Heavy riffs, good breakdowns. It's not like unnecessarily hard.
Yeah, like, it wasn't as heavy as other bands that
it I've flows. Seen. It flows. It like flows they really let well, the though, music yeah. and they let the songs just play
naturally.
They don't fucking try to say we want to have a breakdown here, so we're gonna add one in.
Yeah.
If it doesn't fit, they just keep playing, and then it just works. It, great, great band. Special mentions to me here were Peace Ritual.
Yeah, they were my favorite local.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome.
So I only really heard them on the way up.
Yeah,
because I thought they were just another hardcore band, but they actually blew me away. And vocals really good. That new single, Seconds,
incredible,
so good. So I'm right behind Peace Ritual.
Yeah,
and my honorable mention was No Brainer, because the vocals were jarring at first because it's not what I was.
For someone who likes screamo and some of the nonsense you listen to, it really blows my mind that you found those vocals jarring.
Right at the at first because he.
But it was like, same with Knock Loose. You were like, I can't get around the vocals. And I'm like, mate, you listen to fucking the most bizarre screamo shit.
Yeah, I know. But it's the music that goes with it that kind of helps with the vocals. I'm like, this guy's going to have like AWOL type delivery. And because he's a pretty big dude, like a tall, like...
I didn't think so. I don't know. It was hard to tell from down there.
Yeah. Anyway, they were great.
Oh, and shout out Sydney Hardcore. Like... Sydney hardcore is the best, and I've said it on the pod a few times. Since moving to Sydney, I can't get over how amazing Sydney hardcore is, and the crowd and the pit for that for No Brainer in Sydney. There was some fucking crazy karate going on.
Oh yeah,
and like hard dancers and shit, and like big boys, fucking the women getting in there, like going absolutely hard. Obviously beating up Jackson, which is kind of hilarious. Sorry, shout out Jackson for your black eye.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hard. It's the best.
Really good. So we move on to Melbourne. So what was your, let me tell you my favourites from Melbourne.
I mean, I'm going to say Better Half.
Yeah,
I mean, been a Better Half fan for however long. And that's, I think, when the day stepped up.
Yeah.
I will say Post Heaven, really incredible. And they were probably a band that I was most excited to see all week, and they lived up to expectations. But I think when Better Half came on, the crowd got into it more. It just like elevated the day a bit. Came on at the right time. Just incredible.
Yeah, they were great. They're my two as well.
Very good. Internationals. What do you got?
So, for me, like, the biggest surprise of me was Soft Cult.
Yeah.
Just the way that their dynamicness came through from their recordings to live.
Yeah.
Is something that a lot of shoegaze bands struggle with.
Yeah.
Like, it... they can just be flat. But Touche for me.
Yeah, Touche have got the chocolates for me. Secondly, I had Movements.
Yeah.
And that's because I'm a big Movements fan.
Yeah.
And I think even Pat being sick, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then that Monday set, that is the craziest thing I've that's crazy. Like, I just sort of, I was so impressed. Had the time of my life. Just seeing that unfold, it was just fun. So I think Movements for me, but you're right, Soft Cult, special mention. All of them really are fantastic.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was a bad set all week.
No way, no way.
So what were your favorite moments or things that happened throughout the 3 days?
So I think obviously the friends. You know, we talk about the friends we make on the way and all that bullshit. But no, like, honestly, being in Brisbane, catching up with, you know, Cody, first time meeting him, obviously we met him through Vinyl, it was great to do that. Sydney, so many friends. Saw people from work that were there. You know, we play video games with guys all around the country, right? And seeing most of us being there, except for Nick, was real special. And then obviously Monday, all the people there, like, you know, the Saving Face boys, Sean came through, just seeing everyone, that, like, just people we've just met through gigs was just, I think the people had to be probably my favorite thing.
Yeah.
My favorite moment, if you had to say moment, they would probably be my number one. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, they were key for me. I think I was going to shout out Parker's backpack. He already did that.
How good was Parker's backpack? And then he didn't have it,
and everyone was going nuts in Melbourne.
I know you're not in the Silly Goose Club, but there was Tony had the funniest comment about Parker's backpack. And I can't fucking find it.
Okay.
I can't even think of what it was. Why did he bring that up?
I don't know.
I'll find it and I'll bring it up later.
The other moment was the actual stage divers in Sydney. So the people that rushed the stage and jumped into the crowd.
And, yeah, that was cool.
And they were like, free t-shirt for anyone that...
Only one person did it after that.
Yeah, one person did, and he jumped on the security guard's the back of his head.
Sick.
What else was there? When Jeremy jumped in the crowd last night.
Yeah, so... I was going to get to that. I think the whole Touche thing in general, every night had something different. And look, I'm like, we'll talk about it now, but like, we went to 5 shows this week for Touche. Every night, like, Jeremy pointed out to us, and it just kind of warmed my heart every time. Jeremy jumping in the pit last night was unexpected, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, me too.
He did it at the Belgrave show, which was awesome, but I wasn't expecting it. And it was just like, I was right there. It was just like the best moment. But for me also, Touche simping. Let's keep this going.
Yeah.
Every night before he played Reminders across all 5 shows, he did a spiel that said, you know, who here has seen us before? We're sorry it's been so long. This song's for you, blah, blah, blah. But I think what was really special about last night was he was like, there have been a lot of people on this tour, or a few people on this tour that we've seen, like, follow the tour, and this song's for you. And then he pointed, I don't know if it was pointed at me, but it was in my general direction, and it just really warmed my heart. Obviously, I stand out like a like a sore thumb. Like, I've got fucking blue and white hair at the moment. I'm the biggest guy out there.
Yeah.
But I think that was just a moment that I loved.
Yeah.
Then the movements last night was one.
I think so, yeah. That was great.
And I also think, talking about Blind Girls... in Brisbane, I've seen a handful of screamo, like true screamo bands like that, because there aren't a lot in Australia. I've never seen, like, I wouldn't say it was a mic grab, but that there were people in the Blind Girls crowd in Brisbane screaming the lyrics. Like, I don't even know what the lyrics are, if I'm being honest, to some of those songs. Yeah. But they were giving so much energy, and I think the photos that came out of that set were incredible. Seeing that just happen.
Naturally.
And the lead singer getting amongst it, I was just like, that was so special, because... you don't see that for screamo shows like that.
Yeah, for sure. That was a really special moment right at the end there. That guy.
100%.
Yeah, pulled it through.
Any other special moments? I'm not sure.
That's pretty much it.
It's incredible.
There was lots of great stuff happening in the pit. Everyone looking after each other.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Really good from what I could see. A lot of respect being shown for everyone.
I mean, there's been no hateful Silly Goose Club posts, yeah, which is usually a good indicator that there wasn't as much bullshit happening.
Yeah.
So I think it was just a well run. I mean, let's recap. We thought it was just well run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, incredible festival. I really hope it comes back next year.
Me too.
But speaking of, do you want to talk about...
Yeah, so...
what do we think next year?
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely think it'll come back.
I think it's got to come back, right?
It's got to. You got to give it at least 3... to see if it's sustainable.
I mean, if Knotfest is coming back with this garbage lineup this year.
Yeah.
And when I say it's not, it's not for me, right? Yeah. So, look, I say it's garbage. It's probably not garbage. But I think it's got to come back. I think the only difference from a booking point of view, I feel like they could do a bigger room in Melbourne.
Probably, yeah.
I just don't know how they would do it at like a place like the Forum. That's where I would suggest it would be.
But yeah, like, you wouldn't have room for a food truck. You couldn't do food pass outs like they did in Brisbane.
But then again, I don't know if they like doing that.
Yeah. You could do somewhere like, I don't know, similar to like Taste of Chaos, where they used to have that at like Rod Laver, but Rod Laver's huge.
Yeah, no, they couldn't do it there. Or maybe like they could do it there.
That's the logical next step.
Well, maybe basically. They just keep it that size, and then it's just an intimate thing, and it's a good time.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll just keep that.
Yeah.
Do we want to go on what our way too early predictions / wish lists are for next year?
Yeah.
Let's go back and forth, one on one.
Yep. All right. So I've got a couple of shoegaze.
Oh, you've done it like by genre, haven't you?
Yeah. So all I've right, got some. I basically got 3 different genres. I've got emo bands, pop punk, and shoegaze.
All right.
So I'd love to see Narrowhead play next year.
Oh, that's a great. I didn't have that in my list, but I really like that. I didn't really do mine in any order.
That's fine.
But I'm going to do one that I kind of said it a lot on Saturday. I feel like balance and composure is the, in my head, I would say should be a front runner for headline.
Yeah.
For next year.
I think they're big enough. I think they're good enough.
Yep.
So next for me, I'd love to see Koyo play.
Koyo, good one. Yeah, yep. I think they can take that no pressure spot. Yep. Ching, show me a coke.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. Other than my my title fight reunion hopes, which I put on my list, but yeah. I really want to see arm's length.
Yeah, they're on my list too.
I think they're like just a great emo band that I don't think there are many bands doing it like that right now.
Not at all.
And I think they'd fit this bill perfectly. So that was my next band.
Yep. The next one for me, I got a couple of shoegazy ones. I think Manchester Orchestra would be great in that afternoon. Or later. Oh,
that's a spicy take. Yeah, they're good. I would love to see them. I mean, you know, like, yeah, I love that band. I think they're super underrated. They haven't been in Australia in a hot minute. Yep. But, yeah, I think that's a good one. And hopefully people check them out because I feel like the hype for Touche is at an all-time high right now. Mm. I'm hoping after people see these shows, and obviously with Manchester Orchestra on the on Limelight, I'm hoping people check them out. Yeah. If they haven't already, and then, yeah. I think that'd be a good bridge because they're more indie rock now.
Yeah, well, they're more indie rock. It's like, yeah. And then the next one I had in that, I'll just do the double,
yep.
is Def Heaven. Because I think Def Heaven playing their new stuff is like that black gaze for everyone. So
yeah,
I think
I'm down for that.
People love them too. Rule. Yeah.
I had American Football on my list.
Oh, spicy.
They're playing shows
yeah.
this year. I think they'll be at Furnace Fest.
Okay.
Because there's like a big gap in their schedule, which is completely irrelevant to what we're talking about right now. But I just feel like they're playing shows. I think they're open to that kind of thing. And I really hope they come back. And I feel like if they were to play like their first record or even just like just a set, I think people would love that shit.
Yeah.
Do you have any others or do you want me to keep
going? One last one I had was One Step Closer because yeah. they'll be touring that new album, hopefully.
That's a good call.
That comes out in May. So anything in that realm. So you could have Anxious, you could have a few others.
I had Pile of Love.
Yeah.
I think they're a band that if they're going to come over, I think it would be something like that. Yeah. I don't think they'll come out and do their own headline stuff. But if you're on a festival and just getting your name out there a bit, I think they would do it. I know they've been to Japan. Right? Yeah, they went to Japan.
Yep.
And they did Asia, which pisses me off they didn't come here. But
they've got a big following in Japan, though.
I think the Japanese scene's just thriving, bro.
Yeah.
I had them on my list. I tried to think of some more big bands. I thought Turnover could be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Especially yep. since they obviously bailed on their Slowly show.
Yes.
I can't remember what for. But I feel like they're due for a return. And I think people go crazy for that. I think they could honestly almost be like Citizen. Mm. Maybe not quite a headliner, but they could also headline if you had some really strong supports under.
Yep.
I also had one of your favorite bands, Teenage Wrist.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be a spicy addition. And I think it'd be quite good. And then obviously Fleshwater was on my list.
Yeah.
I think they said they're going to try and come back soon. Why don't just come on the festival?
Yeah. I'm keen as if they come back because they were one band I really wanted to see.
I was Devo when their sideshow. Well, obviously the whole thing, but I really was keen for that sideshow. I think like in a small room, they'd slap. But that's my way too early. That's our way too early predictions, people.
Yeah. I know we did do some chat on the weekend about like adding someone like a Knuckle Puck or something like that as well.
I will say, yeah.
I think a bit of pop punk energy would be good. But you can only fit so many bands on. So, and we're only talking international top slots. So those bottom slots we want to keep for those Australian bands.
Yeah. And I think just one thing that Brisbane did really well is with Bad Neighbour and At Your Heart Out, I think it just kind of really kept the vibes up. Not that the vibes were down, but it kept the energy up. Sorry, should I say, not the vibes. And so I think, you know, seeing Sunbleached to seeing, I think Bad Neighbour played.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck. All right. We're back up. And then who do we watch after that? Soft Cult played.
Yeah.
And then here's At Your Heart Out. And it just kind of like up and down all day, which I really liked. Whereas some of the other shows was like,
go, 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 crash.
Yeah. It was like it was sad. I mean, that's what the whole point. Like we're fucking sad people, right? Listen to sad music, but it was very shoegazy, and then it like went up or down or hardcore, whatever the fuck, right? But I just think in addition of a pop-punk band, or what they did in Brisbane, I think was a good balance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great. That's our new Bloom recap.
Yeah.
Now we can get on to the
touche simping part of the podcast.
Yeah, the part you've all been waiting for.
The part that just we've been waiting to talk about.
Yeah.
No, should we just talk about the whole week?
Yeah, so let's run through your week because it's been a bit busier than mine.
So last Sunday, me and Elijah, mm-hmm. a mate from Sydney, we drove down to Melbourne for, which was originally meant to be Fleshwater shows and Touche shows. Obviously, we spoke about, we booked to go to all the New Blooms when Touche announced, and then they announced all these side shows and, you know, couldn't miss them. We weren't going to make Perth, weren't going to make Adelaide, that was a given, but Melbourne was somewhat attainable. So drove down on Sunday. Obviously, Fleshwater got cancelled. Ended up at the Yours Truly show at the Northcote Social Club.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible show. Probably the best time I've seen Yours Truly in like 5 years. Since like pre-COVID, I think, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
They absolutely slapped. Beck Stevens supported. But one of my favorite bands of the night was Sick Visor.
Okay.
Who is the lead singer of Columbus and his wife. Do a two-piece. Just fun pop-punk band.
Yep.
Absolutely had the time of my life watching them. Like, they were so good, so fun. Everyone should check them out because they're the best. And they had great merch. Like, I bought like a Goosebumps logo t-shirt.
Oh, cool.
They said Sick Visor. They were selling like friendship bracelets, like Taylor Swift inspired friendship bracelets. It was just so fun. Absolutely love it. The next day, obviously, had the Touche show with Blind Girls, No Brainer, and Gil Cerone, Staygold, mm-hmm. that you came to.
Yeah, so I made the last minute dash after my wife finished work and made it like 5 minutes to spare, maybe 10 minutes to spare,
yep.
before Touche went on. I would have gone to the whole thing if it was on another day.
Yep.
Getting to that. But it was...
you almost didn't come.
Almost didn't come. I was like, I mean, knowing it, my biggest thing was I didn't want to miss the start of the set. I think if I missed the start of the set, it would have wrecked the rest of it for me.
And just to say to that, Come Heroin might be the best opener of a set ever. Yeah. I can't think of another show I've been to that has just set the tone so well.
Yeah. It's go from the start.
Yep.
But tell us about Gil Cerone. Well, we've already spoken about No Brainer and Blind Girls, but...
Gil Cerone were great. I mean, they're a screamo band. They were exactly what I expect a screamo band to be. Yeah. Like, not much crowd interaction, just fucking in the music, feeling everything. They were good, high energy. Crowd turned up, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great. Like, I really enjoyed them. I think I'd be keen to see them a bit more. I think I just really want to get more involved in the screamo scene.
Yeah.
I don't know much. I don't know many screamo bands. And all the screamo bands I know, number one, hardcore adjacent. So they'll play a lot of hardcore shows. What I really would like to see is like more screamo shows. You know, we've almost got every other kind of show. There are pop-punk gigs. There are metalcore gigs. There are post-hardcore, just like alt-rock gigs. But there's not like... I very rarely hear about screamo gigs. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place. But they were great. So, yeah, No Brainer were good. Blind Girls were exceptional. And then Touche Moray. I mean, we'll talk at the end of what our favorite Touche set was. But this Monday night was special.
Yeah, absolutely special.
We were barrier bitches, as people like to say, for that. I don't do that often, but I was like, I got to do it for this. Just insane. We copped it. And rightfully so, we're at the front. There were stage divers going absolutely fucking mental. There were boys bigger than us. We're big boys.
Yeah.
Doing crowd surfing. Or not even crowd surfing.
Crowd flopping, like, I call it.
Crowd flopping. This is a PSA. If you can't get air off the stage and you can't physically jump off the stage, you shouldn't be stage diving.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to body shame anyone, but it's just like,
it's for the safety of everyone else.
Oh, and fuck, man. It pissed me. Like, you don't think I would love to crowd surf?
Yeah, me too.
But I'm telling you right now, if I get on the stage and I jump off and get air, I'm probably going to crush someone.
Yep.
But these guys were like just getting up there and turning around and falling on people. I just stopped trying to help them at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, get fucked. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. So it's look after yourself because people aren't going to catch you, obviously. And yeah. And think about the people that you're jumping on. But it was still great.
Great set. I think Jeremy, what really stood out to me early on was Jeremy is just one of the best frontmen. in regards to holding a crowd, getting everyone involved, and just crowd service, like fan service, right?
Yeah.
He knows when to give out mic grabs. He picks out people in the crowd that he sees. You had a special moment where he, like, full on embraced you, like, yeah. And you, when you had your mic grab. It was just awesome.
Yeah, so good. So, Tuesday night for you?
Well, I just want to go back to the Monday show because I think that was the best Day Gulch set I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the Bloom show last year, the past tense 5 year,
yeah,
it was both Bloom set and Starve set were two of the best sets I've ever seen there, yeah. In regards to crowd involvement, energy of the bands, everything about it was perfect. I think that was better.
Yeah, me too.
And then what happened was I was really lucky to, it was funny, when we went to Belgrave on Wednesday, literally Jeremy was ordering a pizza at a pizza shop 10 meters away from where I parked my car. And I got out of the car and I'm like to Elijah, is that Jeremy? He's like, I think it might be. We have to walk that way to get to the main strip.
Yeah.
Anyways, we ended up having a conversation with him, which was like really awesome. And I said to him, I got a question for you. What was Monday like for you? Because from where I was, that was one of the most craziest things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy said that was one of the most special sets they've played in the whole band's existence, which blew me away.
Yeah.
So just the validation to know that if you're at that show, you witness something real special.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Yeah, Tuesday, Movement, Soft Cult, Peace Ritual. Great show. I mean, we've spoken about all three of these bands. Pat was sick, but they played the full set. He did really well. I picked up that he was a bit odd. Like he wasn't really like getting involved in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he was sick and he knew that, but we didn't know that. But I was really lucky to see that. I'm really aware that was lucky because no one else, unless you're at that show, you didn't get to see the whole set.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just really, it was great. New songs were great. The middle songs were great. The early songs were great. They're just so good. And then obviously Wednesday, Touche, Bloom, Bad Juju and Resenter at Sookie Lounge. What do you think?
I think it was a pretty good all-round show, I think.
Yeah.
Resenter were pretty good. They're still kind of coming up, but
they're great. Yeah, I really like them.
Down from Sydney, I think.
Are they Sydney, Ben?
Yeah.
Or they were Brisbane.
Maybe Sydney or Brisbane.
I don't know, but they were great.
Yeah, they're not from Melbourne. I know that. So it was good of them to come down for that. Bad Juju were pretty good. That's the first time I've actually seen them.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen them since pre-COVID.
Okay.
They used to play a heap of shows with like Young Lions and stuff back in the day.
Right, yeah.
But I haven't seen them since their new album dropped and they were good.
Yep. And then Bloom, obviously we've seen them a number of times. We heard a couple of new songs from the album as well. First time.
I think you and I was the first time they'd played that live.
In Australia, yeah. They played in Japan.
Oh, right.
When they were just there, but they play.
I didn't think they did, did they?
Well, that's what they said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That song is so good. Actually, yeah. the new songs, I mean, I just want them to only play the new songs. Like, I just put all the old songs away for please and for just play the new ones.
Yeah.
Because I'm really keen to see them. But You and I was incredible. Seeing Carve Yourself into my lungs for the first time in like nearly 2 years was so cool. They're great. They're really good. And they opened with Cold, which was like ballsy move.
Yeah, big move. Yeah. Then Touche played again. It was a smaller room than Stay Gold, but as we said before, like,
who gives a fuck?
No one cares.
It was crazy. Like, I was really nervous because at the start, like I said, I spoke to Jeremy before the show and he was like, well, we'd only had 130 pre-sales at that point, which I think might have capped out to about 250.
Yeah.
I think people came. There was like quite a full room by the end. But he was a bit nervous about it. But then I almost think, and we were talking about this, that show nearly might have been my favorite. Because I think from a crowd participation point of view,
yeah,
it was a bit better than Monday. When I say a bit better,
it was cleaner.
I didn't feel like I was
being crushed.
Yeah, because people couldn't crowd surf off the stage like that at Sookie Lounge based on that stage. But like, mic grabs were better. He jumped in the crowd, fell asleep at the end.
Yeah,
crazy fun. Like there was room to move. It was good. I really loved it.
Yeah, I think it's probably just a little bit behind. I popped out of the pit for a little bit, and it was like, it wasn't the whole room getting involved.
No, it wasn't.
But sometimes that's even better, because then you do have that room to move. You're with those people that are just there for the band.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great show.
So yeah, and then drove back to Sydney on Thursday, and then flew out to Brisbane on Friday. So it was a pretty big week. Really all for Touche. The everything else was a bit of a bonus.
Yep.
First time in 7 years, and I feel like I got what I needed.
Oh, I think so. I got my fill for sure. It's actually incredible that it's been that long. Obviously, COVID and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They've been back like every two or three before that.
Yeah. And I think just talking about like the songs they played, I mean, let's talk a bit about it because we want to talk a bit about Touche, but I knew the set was very stage four heavy.
Yeah.
And it's like we've spoken about on the pod before, that has never been my favorite record. Mm. And I said it like at the start of last week, I was like, stage four's never been my favorite. It Survived By has always been number one. I think Lament, Lockdown Record, got there to number two.
Yeah.
Dead Horse. Oh, I mean, Pardon the Sea, one of the best fucking post-hardcore records of that decade. Yeah. Ever, really. Dead Horse has a nostalgia for me. And then it's stage four somewhere there. But, you know, it probably shouldn't be known as my least favorite. Yeah. Because everything starts at like an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
But it was very stage four heavy. And I think after seeing this set list, I think it changed my mind a bit.
Yeah. I could see you coming around to it. And yeah, I'm a little bit of the same where like Lament is up there. Mm. Stage four was always that sister or brother record to Wildlife in moving songs and like just the way to portray emotion, stuff like that. But yeah, seeing those songs live again and with that time and that development of, and then with obviously with Lament coming out, they've changed a little bit as well, and I think they've improved the way they play them live.
I think my whole thing with the stage four tracks was when they came last time, they played a lot of songs off that record, and I didn't vibe with all those songs necessarily. This time they played like the hits, so I think everything was great. I listened to, I texted you on Friday morning before we were going to Brisbane, and I said I think I know why stage four hasn't been one that I go back to as much.
Yeah.
Because I was like in the airport, like holding back tears, man. Like, and I know it's a sad record. It's always been a sad record, but I hadn't given it its time in a long time. But by like the 7th, 8th track, I was like really fucking not in a good way before that flight. So I think that has a part to it. I think the first half of the record is probably some of their best music. And that's what they all played live, right?
Yeah.
Second half, it just kind of dips a bit. Whereas I think It Survived By and Lament, it balances a bit better throughout the whole record, which is why I think they're still my favourites. But yeah, the set lists were great.
Stage four's top five, man. It's fine.
Favourite show?
It's Stay Gold, on par with last night.
Yep. I wrote both. Well, I mean, you all week, like we've had different things. Like I spoke about the moments like in the pit with Jeremy.
Yeah.
Probably made every show have its moment for me.
Yeah.
I think Monday was only like that because like I said, it was the best show I've seen at Stay Gold. It was the first time seeing them in 7 years.
Yeah.
They played Harbour, which is like one of our favorite songs.
Yeah, that too, all the time. Yeah.
They played a few more tracks that they didn't play at the other shows. But last night I was exhausted and like physically and emotionally, as I said, but I said to you like, this is a lot, like I'm going to go in because like, I'm not saying they're not going to be here for another 7 years, but, you know, I was like, I just need a cap off this week, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't super happy with the Sydney pit because I just kept getting crushed.
Yeah, me too.
And I just felt like Melbourne had a different feeling to it, and it ended up being like that. Like that Jeremy jumped in the pit. I hadn't watched like that in ages. And I'm not like a hardcore two-stepper karate person. I like to finger point. I like to scream. I like to
jump
just
up
like...
and down.
Get, jump up and down, make movement and just get amongst the energy of the song. And I felt like last night that was where I was all night. And I think last night has to take the cake.
Yeah. I think about... so I kind of hung back a little bit.
Yeah.
Or tried to, in and like every 30 seconds I'd take two steps close to that pit.
Yeah.
Because I could just feel like... And then the last three songs I was just in there throwing down. And
yeah. It was just, I was like to the point where I was gassed. So there were some songs where I was like, I just need to chill for a minute.
Yeah.
and then I'd go hard because like you just can't help yourself. And like there was some moments where I was like, I'm gonna pass out, like dead set. I needed water.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it, but that's fine. That was just incredible. Best way to cap off this Hot Runner show is I keep checking my phone because I do feel like there's a chance that they play a little cheeky secret show, but
yeah, we haven't seen that come through yet.
So. Nope. But that's fine. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will. We'll see if that happens, and hopefully it happens, but who knows. So, what else did we do in between?
So, Friday, obviously, we got there really early in Brisbane. Got some real fucking good breakfast.
Yeah.
We had some good food this whole week, actually. We ate well. We treated ourselves. We're on holiday.
Yeah. We're on tour.
Yeah, we're on tour. We also got a tattoo on Brisbane on Friday, which was a bit of an impulse. Something we've both spoken about.
Yeah, like and then separately.
You just brought it up, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I thought about it during the week, and I was like, dude, we should get a tattoo, because like, obviously, you've got some, I've got some, and for whatever reason, the whole time, when we've spoken about it, I'm like,
yeah,
oh, I don't have the money at the moment, and then it just suddenly clicked in my head, I'm like, it's only going to be like $150.
It's like three t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't buy three t-shirts.
Don't buy three t-shirts, which I still bought the three t-shirts, but...
Yeah. Or it's like for me, just don't have like... five beers.
Yeah, that's right. Don't have three beers at wherever we're selling for $15. But yeah, we got into Brisbane, got to the accommodation, kind of just did a Google and rang up a tattoo shop, and they had an appointment.
So we got the Touche Asterix. You got yours on your forearm. I got mine on my wrist. And I think that was I'm like in love with the tat, and I think it just kind of caps off this whole weekend and this whole week. Of that, and like we'd both wanted it for a long time, we just never done it. So that was probably obviously a big one. I just think seeing all mates, like I honestly can't put into words like how full my heart is from this. Like everyone in Brisbane, I saw like the friends from Sydney that were in Brisbane, Cody, like Sydney yesterday, like all the people. Like we spoke about it at length in this, but that I just can't put into words like how much I just love that.
Yeah. Putting faces to names, joining those internet friendships, and just really taking a step back. I took a step back last night, and like inside my mind, it was just like appreciating the scene that we're in, and the people that we've become friends with, and the fact that we can go to a show. I can go to a show by myself, and I'll know someone there.
Yeah.
I think that's been a big thing for me in the last 18 months, is being able to just have that confidence to go and know that I'm going to see someone.
Yeah.
And just, even if it's a g'day, it's just a familiar face. It gives you that comfort level of, like, I'm going to keep going to these shows.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was very special. So, I think moving forward, so have you got any gigs coming up?
I have... only got Anti Skeptic on Easter Saturday.
Right, yeah. I think this week I've got No Pressure on Wednesday at the SB, Soft Cold on Tuesday. I haven't got a ticket yet, but I'll get a ticket to that. And then No Pressure on Sunday, and then Anti Skeptic the week after. Besties are playing a show. But I think this kind of caps off, I think, a busy few months with Taylor Swift. This, it's just been a lot happening, so... I'm probably going to go to a little bit less gigs, or less, like, doubles of gigs.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try and just do one and done for some things now.
Yeah.
I really am tired.
Yeah, it's been a lot, especially with the lead up to kind of doing these 2 weeks. We did, like, some interviews back to back to back.
Yeah.
And, it's really been interesting with the full plate, like actual full plate.
It's been real full. So I think, actually we'll talk that now. So we've got a new episode coming out next week with a band that we have been in the works for a hot minute. So we're really stoked that came to be. So we'll release that next week. But then I think we're going to have a little break over the Easter break. Obviously May's traveling as well.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you need a break. And then I think we'll regroup after Easter and get some stuff out. But yeah, I think it's going to be nice to take a break, because I think since we came back for our year two, we haven't stopped.
Yeah, we had that 1 week off.
We had like 1 week off at Christmas. And I'm actually like, it's crazy that we've done that, because we were fucking hopeless that first year.
Yeah, and we're closing on episode 100, which is...
31 off.
Yeah, which crazy. Is pretty crazy to see.
That's crazy. Anything else you want to talk about, Fest or anything, before we start wrapping up?
No, I think I'm good. I think I've got it all out.
Same. It's a great week. I'm surprised we're not sick of each other just yet.
Yeah, I'm sick of you, but I'm just not going to say it. You're sick of
me. Fuck off. I'm surprised. I thought we were like... I was like, we've never spent this much time together. No.
But I think what's good is that we're not codependent. So we can actually go.
I definitely fucking walked away from you. Like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, that's fine.
And vice versa.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, if you want to hit the pit, that's fine. Don't let fear hold you back.
Just to plug, we've got a few more weeks left of our t-shirt pre-orders.
Yep.
So thank you to everyone who has picked up one so far. How cool is it, by the way, seeing Ben, like good mate of the pod, Ben, wearing our t-shirt on stage during Better Half? I was pinching myself being like, fuck, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was sick.
Not that anyone's looking at his t-shirt being like, fuck, what's that t-shirt? That's fresh. But in my head, I was like, that's unreal.
Yeah, it was really nice. Thanks, Ben.
But yeah, go pick up a t-shirt. They're on our website through our Big Cartel. We've got them for a few more weeks. Yeah, that's pretty much all we got going on at the moment.
Yeah.
Thank you again for everyone who picked up the records. We'll keep you posted and we'll post on our socials when the screens come through and we start like playing around with that. But yeah, thank you very much everyone for the last month. It's been a really big month for the pod. Listeners have been pretty crazy to what we normally used to. So thank you very much to everyone involved, everyone who's listened, everyone who's picked up a tea. People have said hello at shows. It's just been the best.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you so much. Thanks for the people who are interested in coming on though in the future as well. So
absolutely.
We've had some nudges from some people, which is lovely. We love to hear everyone.
Fuck, we're still falling into the big things coming.
Yeah, there's still some big things coming, I think. But thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, and leave a rating and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's helped the show a lot. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at press.con.pod on both platforms.
And as always, we love the feedback and the conversations generated by our topics. So we want to hear from you what you thought about the fest. Did you fucking think Touche sucked?
Yeah.
Because we will.
Did you get crushed by Phil in the pit at Brisbane? Because there's a few victims. Did Phil go too hard? Did you see him in the Redbeard video, which we're trying to get a copy of?
Man, I had a lot of people send me that video. I stand out. Like, I'm a big boy. Yeah. I've got fucking colorful hair. Like, sometimes I probably don't quite... I'm not quite aware of how big I am. But, fuck, I don't care. Like, just because I can't do karate doesn't mean that I can't have fun.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's it.
Thanks for listening. We're going to leave you with a track.
Surprise.
A surprise track. I don't know what we're going to play, but we'll put one in there. Probably a Touche one.
Yep.
And we'll see you next Tuesday.
See you next week.